ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. It is hour number three. Ryan and Ola E still with us as he is on Tuesdays. We'll have a little bit of fun. Go back and forth as apparently I won three of the four.
Well, that's debatable.
Shots fired segments there, Brian, but you had a lot of support for the first topic, which was if the Pels fail to make the postseason, should Gentry and Dell Demps pay with their jobs? I'm sitting there going, dude, they won 10 in a row and everyone was talking extension. Now that said, they've lost four or five, then they won four in a row. Extension. And now they've lost four in a row, and now you want to pressure wash the entire building if they fail to make the postseason. The remaining games, five of them for the Pelicans. Memphis tomorrow night at home, then at Phoenix, at Golden State, at the Clippers, and then host the San Antonio Spurs. Brian, hour number two, though, that 1 o'clock hour was brought to you by a place you know all too well.
Absolutely. That'd be Coastal Truck Driving School, one of the nation's premier truck driving academies, offering CDL training and job placement assistance. Coastal Truck Driving School, call 504-486-3639, 504-486-3639, and get started with your new career today. Gus, I believe you could drive a truck. I wouldn't want you to, because that means that'd just be dangerous. I mean, right. You can probably barely see over the wheel of your car now, but... Well,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm not that short.
You kind of are.
Well, you can jack up the seat, can't you?
I mean, you could probably put a couple of phone books up there. Maybe we can get you a high chair or something like that.
You know what?
Might work. But you could do it.
I could.
So if Goose could do it, I'm pretty sure you guys out there could do it. Give Coastal Truck Driving School a call, and you definitely can change your life very quickly.
We're live at Walk-Ons here. Metairie, the last of our four walk-on remotes. We've been at Homa, Covington, the one on Poydras downtown, and today here in Metairie. And each time, Pepito, we've had SmackDown tickets we've given away. Today, a little extra special because the SmackDown tickets are paired with Access tickets as well. Those Access pairs flew.
Yeah, they're gone.
In that first hour, they're
gone. I
mean,
there's nothing left.
The only thing in that envelope, though,
the two
WrestleMania tickets. Brett and Jacques are the winners of the 10 that were qualified to do so that won. Kia, who's been so nice to us here, since we got here, been taking care of us. I asked her to pick a number of the list, and I just said, what's your favorite number? She said four. So Kia gave us number four. So the first pair of two pair of SmackDown tickets with Access tickets goes to Kevin Forsyth. Kevin Forsyth. Pepito will be calling you here during the segment to let you know that we will have those tickets up at the hostess stand, so come get them whenever you're convenient to come pick them up. We'll leave them for you. We'll give away one more pair of SmackDown tickets for all the folks that came and registered. Nice long list there. We'll get another number for you. First, though, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Pels here. Jake Madison at NOLA Jake Story to follow on Twitter. Locked on Pels and LockedOnPels.com is the way you can follow all of Jake's work. Jake, how you doing, man, this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
For sure. Look, man, let's just kind of start with the question we threw out there today, because sort of in first take, typical fashion, Pels lose four straight, and I'm panicking, and I'm like, all right, what if the team does not make the postseason? I'm already seeing it on social media. It's time to blow it all up and fire everybody. Here's the thing. In the 10-game win streak, Jake, Gentry was doing a good job, right? Extension. I was having a little fun with it. How much... I guess what I'm saying is blame or success can you give the coach and GM here? But I think by the mere fact that they're in the playoff hunt, you got to give them some sort of props, right?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of props to give all around to the coaching staff, to the front office, to the players, but there's also blame to go around. And I know people kind of want to pin this free fall, this four-game losing streak on one thing in particular, but it's a combination of a number of things, which leaves us without any kind of easy answer with it. It's not just the coaches or just the players or just the front office. There's just kind of a lot going on right now, none the least of which is the Anthony Davis ankle injury, which is very clearly bothering him right now, and it's also led to this four-game losing streak. So there's a lot to kind of unpack from all of it, but I'm actually a little optimistic once you look at these upcoming five games, realize that some teams might be resting players, some teams are out of playoff contention or about to be out of playoff contention, and there's a realistic chance the Pelicans can go 4-1 or 5-0 during this and make sure they get into the postseason.
Jake, you know, one of the things that I noticed, and you look at it, I guess I've become so accustomed to seeing Anthony Davis get injured one way or another and come back and almost in a game or so, it's almost like he didn't get injured. But that's what I'm looking at, and I'm seeing people not criticize but say, hey, this is not like Anthony Davis. I'm like, dude, he's not healthy. I mean, you can just see on the games and just from shot selection to whatever, it just doesn't seem right. And that's been a big concern. Could another one also be what I call maybe fatigue, man? These teams have had to, or he's had to lead the team along with Drew Holiday so much in that 10-game win streak. And just really since Boogie's gone down, maybe these legs are getting tired.
Yeah, and I said as much on Locked On Pelicans today where we were kind of looking at what caused this 4-game losing streak, and there's a number of things at play. But one of them has been that AD has not been as dominant as he was during that 10-game winning streak or really any period of time after the DeMarcus Cousins injury. He was largely kind of a forgotten man almost and didn't really impact the game against Cleveland. You saw him doing the best he could against Portland but really wasn't able to at the very end of the game. You saw him not really engaged defensively. And that ankle injury looked very bad at the time, so there's no real blame for him there. And then against the Oklahoma City Thunder, he tried to but wasn't aggressive, wasn't really trying to assert himself like we kind of have gotten used to. So in a weird way, he's kind of changed the expectations we all had for him with that elevated level of play that put him in the MVP conversation. And when all of a sudden he's not reaching those level of expectations, you kind of look at it and be like, well, he's playing badly right now. Maybe he's hurting the Pelicans a little bit when he's out there. And there were times against Oklahoma City Thunder when he was hurting the team when he was out there. But overall, he's doing everything he can. This team's doing everything they can to get into the playoffs.
Jake, one thing that I also point to, especially in that Oklahoma City game, which, again, is a game you lost by 5, 21 turnovers. I go back to, you know, even the game last Sunday when you're at home and earlier in the week as well, just boneheaded decisions, throwing the inbound pass away, just turnovers at the wrong time, and Jrue Holiday firing it into the corner, Etuan Moore or Darius Miller's in the wing, just careless turnovers that can turn the game so much. And I look at that Cleveland game, you had a double-digit lead at halftime, and yes, Cleveland got hot in that third quarter, but you played terrible. You went to the offense where you're jacking up shots, you didn't drive to the basket, you know, there was no ball movement. It's just, to me, I guess that's why I keep using and referring to the word fatigue. When you're tired, you're not thinking right, you're maybe kind of half, you know, wadding it, and you're not maybe moving on defense. You're kind of just standing and watching. And to me, that's been the most disappointing aspect of this. And that's why I say I can't blame coaching on this. It's the players just aren't performing the way that they're capable right now.
No, and that's a big concern going forward, is kind of cutting out these unforced errors that they're making. It's not because the teams are playing good defense against them. It's just mental mistakes, little things like that, that are really hurting this franchise right now. And that becomes even more important when you play a team like Memphis, a team like Phoenix, who are not good basketball teams. But if you have 21 turnovers in a game, the number they had against Oklahoma City, these are teams that will stick around and maybe eke out a win in the fourth quarter, pretty much ending the Pelicans' playoff chances at that point. You've got to cut out those kind of mental mistakes. One thing to be tired and not necessarily hitting your shot, hitting front iron with tired legs at the end of a game. But like you said, to throw inbound passes away, little things like that that are easily fixed, they need to get that right. Otherwise, this is going to be a rough final five games to end the season.
Jake, this is Brian here, and I wanted to ask you that I understand the idea of having fatigue. I understand the mental errors and things like that, but could it simply be just the pressure of making this playoff push is starting to get to the Pels and it's making them crack under the pressure?
Yeah, I definitely think that's some of it. There are guys who've kind of been around this type of situation before. You know, Etuan Moore made the playoffs a couple of times with the Bulls. You have Rajon Rondo, who's gone on deep playoff runs as well. But for the most part, this team's pretty green when it comes to this sort of thing. And not knowing how to execute in the end of games and during games seems like they're trying to do a little too much. It's been a lot more of one-on-one style basketball than this kind of free-flowing, pass-happy offense than we've seen all year. And that kind of says to me these guys are just trying to go out and make it happen instead of letting the game come to them. They're almost trying too hard to rise to the occasion to get this team into the playoffs, knowing that the pressure's on, and it's causing a lot of those mistakes. So I definitely think that's a big part of it as well.
I look at the remaining five games, and Jake, I go, look, these are games that you can't lose to Memphis and Phoenix, and then you got the Clippers and San Antonio that really, again, can determine whether or not you make the postseason or not. But at this point, when the team is playing sort of the way it is, and just when everything matters, and you mentioned whether it's tightness, whether it's injuries, whether it's fatigue, every game means so much here. But of the five, am I wrong in thinking you better at least win three of those five, and those three better be Memphis and Phoenix and the Clippers?
Yeah, the Clippers game, depending on what happens with the rest of their schedule, is an
could
absolute
be it, right?
must win, because the Pelicans have two magic numbers. You've got five games remaining, but the magic number against the Denver Nuggets is four. The magic number against the Los Angeles Clippers is three. Both those teams still have an outside chance at making the playoffs, so you've got to keep that in mind. That game against the Clippers may as well be two when you've got them kind of vying for the tiebreaker against you as well as trying to climb up in the standings and jump ahead of you. So that game is vitally important. You've got to win that. And you've got to take care of business against the teams that you're supposed to take care of business against. All of a sudden, if you lose to Memphis tomorrow, this team could go into a tailspin of confidence, realizing they just can't do it. No matter what they do, it's not good enough. And then you see them kind of fold against lesser competition or play down to it, which we've seen them do before this year. You've got to kind of get three wins. Should put you fairly safe in there. Denver does have a game tonight against the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to be watching that one as closely as possible. Hopefully the Pacers can do the Pelicans a big favor again and get a victory over them. Then you've got Denver right. and Los Angeles playing each other at one point during the season, which will affect everything. So there's some scoreboard and standing watching going on, but you just need to take care of business. The team controls their own destiny still, even though they're almost throwing that away. But win out or win three or four games, and you should be in, and you don't need to hope and pray that other teams lose.
I guess all I can ask, man, is keys to the game here. What do you think can happen, especially with the magic number kind of being four for the Pels to clinch? What are the keys to the game for this victory versus Memphis, and how do you see the Pels moving forward with this playoff push?
You know, it's all going to come down to Anthony Davis. He needs to have a big game. Memphis has kind of upset a few teams over the past month. You've seen them beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've beaten the Denver Nuggets. And I think they played Utah pretty tough as well. So this is a team that's not necessarily folding. So it's what we talked about here. You got to have that mental toughness, which we've seen throughout the season, but it's kind of fallen apart recently. No unforced errors. Anthony Davis needs to get back on track. You also need to get some early offense. This team, after DeMarcus Cousins went out injured, upped their pace to being the top in the league, about 107 possessions per game. They like to take shots early on in the shot clock, before defenses are set, while they still have mismatches, while they're in transition. This team struggles in the half court, so if they're not getting that early offense going on, they're going to struggle to score, and this is going to be a bit of a slog of a game. If they can be stout defensively, end the Memphis possessions, grab defensive rebounds where we've seen them struggling recently, they should be able to get out and run and win fairly easily. There's much more talent here. I'm not sure about the status of Marcus Gasol for this game, but on paper, this is one the Pelicans really should have no trouble winning as long as they're just kind of trying.
Oh, boy. That's what makes me nervous. No trouble winning. And, Jake, we all know what that means. You're probably going to have to watch late into the fourth quarter for this one to be decided. That Nola Jake's the way to follow Mr. Madison over on Twitter. Real simple, Locked On Pels. It's the best podcast when it comes to talking a little basketball. Jake, what else you got on the podcast today?
So today, kind of going over the Western Conference playoff scenarios, what's going on there. Also just took a look at what's kind of gotten into the Pelicans a little bit more in-depth over this four-game losing streak, the slow pace, the bad rebounding, the turnovers, and diving into the numbers and see what they can tell us about this team, hopefully, going forward.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate your time this afternoon, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, you too.
Yep, for sure.
Yes, sir.
Always, always fun. Look, here's the thing. I will say this. It'll be hard to avoid change if you 3 of 5 are losses here. 3 of 5 have got to be wins. You go 5, and no, it still doesn't matter. I still think, again, I think they come back next year.
Yeah.
But you go 0-5 and you miss the postseason, it's going to be hard. I think it having 2 days between games, there's no excuse for losing tomorrow at home.
You can't lose to Phoenix and you can't lose to Memphis. If you're going to
Memphis is tomorrow at home after 2 days off. You didn't play yesterday. You didn't play today.
Yeah, you can't lose.
You cannot lose. And you played Sunday at home. So, I mean, there is zero excuse. I don't want to hear an incoming energy. I don't hear where their shots fell. Well, if their shots are falling, then defend them. then follow him. Do something.
Put somebody on the back or something.
I mean, you cannot lose that game. I think you have to win 3 of 5, if not this team doesn't make the postseason.
I agree, and we both know what the consensus is if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, it's not even me just saying it. It's the idea that Mickey Loomis prior to the season went on record as saying, you know, he was asked both about the Saints and about the Pelicans, is this a make or break season? For the Saints, he was like, no, we'll see, you know, things happen or whatever like that. It was kind of like he blew it off. For the Pelicans, he was like, no, it's absolutely a make or break season for them, so they better do something. Well, here you are, Alvin. Congratulations. You wanted the job, my man. You got one of the best players in the NBA. Make it happen.
Villanova's Jay Wright, what he had to say earlier today about a topic that you and I talked about back in hour one. We'll touch on that next. And also we'll select the winner of the bracket challenge. There was a double tie, so we have to do a blind drawing. It's right there. We'll do it on Facebook Live so you can see it as well, just like we did the WrestleMania tickets. Jacques and Brett are the winners of the 10 qualifiers for WrestleMania tickets. We'll do that more when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. All right, we're live on Facebook Live on ESPN New Orleans. What are you turning around? I'm shrinking your head. It's a magic trick. You didn't know that?
It's not a magic trick. There's nothing magic about you.
Magical.
Okay. No, okay. Nothing.
All right, we're on Facebook Live to draw the winner of the ESPN Bracket Challenge. And let's see, we got R. Bornstein. Okay, so we're going to fold that card, put it in a picture here. Kia's going to help us. Say hi, Kia.
Hi.
Appreciate it for your help here. And then Jersey Steve, who tweeted us, he's in the airport in Jersey listening on the TuneIn radio app. All right, so look, there it is. It's a clear pitcher, no beer in there. It's a clear pitcher, and you're just going to, there you go. So she turns her head, and the winner is for the bracket challenge is R. Bornstein. There you go. R. Bornstein is the winner of walk-ons for a year and a 50-inch screen TV.
And by the way, it's a very nice TV.
There you go. Right.
I saw it this morning.
Easy enough. So, boom. Thank you, Kia. Appreciate it. And that is, well, there's Coach Kenny Farrell. Again, so, what? He just walked in the live video. So there it is. We got it. So there you have it. The two. What it, Coach wanted some SmackDown tickets. You can't have them. You can't. Easy enough. 800-998-1003. Some interesting, I guess, responses when it comes to whether or not Coach Gentry can be blamed, perhaps, for this. And again, it's just kind of interesting to even look at it from that perspective, because for the most part, when you look at it, the team did really well and won 10 straight. And I think fatigue could play a factor in it. It could also be a situation where you see a lot, of players just kind of not performing the way that they had it. And really it's coming down to possession or two. It's coming to half of a quarter or two. But with the final five games left, Memphis, Phoenix, Golden State, Clippers, San Antonio. Yeah. I don't know. I think 3 of 5. What do you think, guys? Jared on Twitter, how confident are you in the Pels with the remaining games? He says 49% confident that they remain and win the remaining games enough to get into the postseason. Again, no excuse tomorrow against Memphis, as far as I'm concerned. No excuse in that you ought to be able to go ahead and win that game. You had 2 days rest, so you should be able to get that win. At Phoenix, you can't lose it. I know they've played hard, and I know they're scrappy. Cannot lose that game. At Golden State, they're beat up a bit. They're not going to get the first seed. There's no way the third seed They dropped two. Could they rest some players by the time the Pels get to them? At the Clippers, a third game of the road trip, huge, massive. Got to win that game as well. San Antonio, the other game to end the regular season here at home, also going to be a big one as well. Brian, I mentioned going into the break that Jay Wright, a lot of people now wondering, should he bolt to the NBA? Second coach in D1 history with four straight 30-win seasons. Bill Self, the other coach to do that. But also the most wins Villanova has than any D1 program in the last 4 years. Well, what was it, like 132,
it's in the regular season? It's a gaudy number.
Yeah,
like I think they've lost like maybe 6 to 8 games but like throughout the last 4 seasons.
Super big.
Yeah.
And, again, there's maybe a player that's a lottery pick, but it's not like they're star-laden or one-and-doneers, things like that.
They're homegrown. Their point guard is definitely a homegrown type of guy, man. He was, you know, he wasn't that great his freshman and sophomore season, junior season. Now he's one of the, he's probably played himself into being a first-round draft pick.
He said this morning that he's completely comfortable and fine with what he's doing right now.
Yeah,
and it's the best job in the country and all this and that.
Everybody says that until somebody puts a blank check in front of your face and say, hey, what'd you like?
Okay, well, I'm asking you, what would it take for you to leave a situation that you can control right now? Okay, you've won two national championships.
Yes.
In a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
You have easily and clearly a heck of a program right now.
Yeah.
You're winning. You're probably making good money. You don't have that much pressure. In terms of, you've won already two national championships. I mean, we're talking about Carolina, Duke, the other two schools that, that have multiple champ. I mean, you're there now. You're up there.
Yeah.
Now, is because you've done that, do you maybe go, hey, let's see what you can do in the NBA? And some people understand it. You know what? Like Nick Saban, I got an empire here. I can sort of stay where you're at. And, Brian, a lot of coaches, you've seen what's happened in Arizona. You've seen maybe what's going on in Kentucky in terms of the one and done maybe isn't happening as much as Calipari sort of want. He's found the right recipe. He's getting the right kind of players. They've bought into it. Now you're at the point where recruiting's going to be even easier.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, you come here. You're not promising the NBA, but you're promising a national championship. That's what's different right now. Because if you think of the last 4 years, they haven't really produced a ton of NBA players, but they're still getting good teams enough to be able to go and play for national championships. That's unique.
Here's why I think.
Because most coaches would promise, hey, like LSU or whatever, or anybody, hey, I can get you to the NBA.
Right. And I think it's a little bit different because the NBA, like basically when it comes to their draft system, if you're not a lottery pick, you're not even thought about. So with Jay Wright, he's not looking for, as you said, those one and dones, those lottery picks. He's looking for guys he can develop over time. I think the problem comes in as you brought in Nick Saban. Nick Saban also needed that challenge of saying, let me go to the NFL to see what that's about because I failed there once as a defensive coordinator. Let me see what it is as far as let me get there and try to, I guess, test what I can do against the best of the best. I think Jay Wright wouldn't mind that challenge, and I think if he goes to a program that is a winning program, I don't think he's going to go to Phoenix or somebody like that. But if you can get him in Philadelphia, you can get him maybe in a Miami should something happen with Eric Spoelstra, I think he's definitely going to enjoy that. Could you imagine Jay Wright under Pat Riley? They almost fit to a T.
Which is crazy because Eric Spoelstra's done a tremendous job this year.
Indeed, but I think because he's
7 seed in the East, 41-36. I love that guy.
I think he's a great coach, and I think because there's a little bit of friction.
Here. Wait a minute.
What's that?
Forget friction. I smell a plot.
Wait, what?
You just said if the Pels don't make it, fire everybody.
Hmm.
And now you're the only one that I know is talking about Spoelstra could be in trouble in Miami.
Are you insinuating that I would rather the Pelicans fire Alvin Gentry and hire Eric Spoelstra? Is that what you're insinuating?
I sure sounds like it.
I would not confirm nor deny that.
I wouldn't mind that either. I'm not calling for it, but I kind of wouldn't mind. Spoelstra's good, man.
He's very good.
I like me some Eric Spoelstra, that is for sure. What are the other things that I wanted to touch on, Brian, before you go, that we spoke about a little bit earlier? Baker Mayfield getting his visit with the Browns today.
Yeah.
I had somebody at the gym come up to me over the last couple of days to say, hey, do you think the Saints are smoke screening with Lamar Jackson? And I said, I actually think they like him. And he said, are you sure? And he brought up the point of the Wonderlic test. Now, did you see the Wonderlic test?
I did.
But
he didn't do very well. I believe he scored a 13.
Got a 13. Baker Mayfield, 25. Sam Darnold, 29. Josh Rosen, 29. I mean, Sam Darnold, 28. Rosen, 29. Josh Allen, a 37 from Wyoming. Lamar Jackson, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, they always like to bring up all the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Eli Manning, 39. Aaron Rodgers, 35. Tom Brady, 33. Drew Brees, 28. Russell Wilson, 28. Joe Flacco, 27. Roethlisberger, 25. I ask you because you've been a Lamar Jackson proponent.
Yeah.
Does his 13 on a Wonderlic scare you?
Is he going to be given a Wonderlic test while he's on the NFL playing field? Is anybody going to sit him down and say, you know what? Scrap this next play. Take this Wonderlic test. Because if that's going to happen, you don't draft Lamar Jackson. But if they're going to allow him to play football, you know, that thing that he excels at, that helped him win the Heisman Trophy, that had him had a better season this year than it did, you know, in his Heisman year. Is anybody going to stop and ask him to do the Wonderlic test as he's blowing by five guys en route to the end zone on a 60-yard run? Because, the, you know, the pocket broke down, it collapsed, and he was able to escape, and nobody could catch him. Is it going to stop him from, you know, seeing Michael Thomas on a slant route wide open? We all know what happens with Mike Thomas on a slant route. Or is it going to stop him from running a run-pass option with Alvin Kamara? If none of that's going to happen because he has to, sit down and take the Wonderlic test, then I don't care.
What if this test has been designed and made
mm-hmm.
to help determine whether or not they can read offenses, handle things? Now, again, I'm going to what Sean Payton said. When you walk in a room, the guy can lead, which is that's why I look at it. Look, I was horrible at ACTs and ACTs. You give me any of those tests right now, and again, I'm not smart when it comes to that. I'm just not. It's just now there's other things I think I can excel in. But, dude, I was not. Like, word problems, I'm an idiot. I can't do math. You train A leaves here and it picks up this and it's weighing 1,000. You've lost me. So I don't know if that could be a situation. Remember, he's also going through all of this without an agent. Could he maybe not have been prepared or prepared himself a little better than maybe some of these other quarterbacks can do that have high-profile agents?
Yeah.
Okay? And they've probably been training them for that. So I don't know. I just go by what Sean Payton said, and Sean Payton was incredibly impressed sitting down talking to him.
Here's all I need to know about the Wonderlic. Two words. Greg McElroy scored a 40. Where is he right now?
Ryan and Elise, I'm Goose, Cat, and Flew. Pepito had a little fun talking a little wrestling earlier. And Brian, our Shots Fired segment in hour number two was brought to you by...
It was brought to you by Coastal Truck Driving School, one of the nation's premier truck driving academies, offering CDL training and job placement assistance. Call Coastal Truck Driving School at 504-486-3639, 504-486-3639, and get started with your new career today. I beat Gus down in that segment. You guys ought to be proud over there at Coastal.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, we can't hear that again. But when we come back, Coach Kenny Farrell, Hill, or New Orleans Jesters, watching the Champions League in front of them. Was it Juventus? Is that what it is? Say that again?
Juventus.
That's what I said, Juventus.
No, you said Juventus.
I didn't say Juventus.
Juventus.
I said Juventus taking on...
The old lady. Is
Juventus.
All right. I thought I said it right, but, you know,
no.
What do I know? He's a soccer coach and you're a soccer fan.
You know a lot more now than you did last September.
That's true. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover. Live in Walk-Ons in Metairie on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, as always, on Tuesdays at 2:30. We like to go on the pitch with Coach Kenny Farrell, your New Orleans Jesters. A little Champions League play coming up. Well, it's actually happening right now.
Yeah.
Little soccer coach. I had a lot to do over the weekend, obviously. You know, there's Easter, at a funeral, what have you. But
yeah.
I every now and then I like to take a little time, see what's going on Twitter. The debut of Zoltan, is that his name?
Zlatan.
Same Zlatan. Thing.
Zlatan.
Anyway.
Hold on, you got to go Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic.
Okay. There you go.
So Ibrahimovic is an inaugural game for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He comes on out there, and there it is.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Would you go majestic goal? I mean, the guy welcomes himself to the league. This is the guy that took out a full-page ad, guys, in the paper there in Los Angeles and said, you're welcome to the Galaxy fans. And then he goes out there and he hits. How far away was that goal that he kicked?
What was it, 35, 40 yards?
I
don't know. I mean, it was flicked on. It was probably top of the box, 60 yards to the halfway line. Probably about... I'd say about 40. I mean, I know they reported it in the newspapers, but I just kept looking at it.
So somebody passed it, and on the hop, he didn't even control the ball. The ball is hopping, or it bounces.
Yeah. Volley.
Okay, off the bounce from the grass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just, I mean, he just no, unloads a howitzer of a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it went over a player, over the goalie, and the video of the goalie's face was great. He was like, how did that happen? I mean, yeah. It was great. The guy takes his shirt off and just bows to the crowd. Yeah. I'm like, that's fantastic. Yeah.
That's very Zlatan of him to do that, right, Coach?
He's paid back the Galaxy already for his cost because that, you know, the Galaxy's gone around the world again. You know, they lost the mantle last year with a bad season. LAFC, the new rival coming in. You know, Movistar owns it, this, that, and the other. They'd lost the mantle, which is why I thought they bought Zlatan, as we spoke about last week, was to put them back there. But the performance, to come off the bench, train once with the team. And, I mean, the technique, the awareness, you know, that first goal was brilliant. But you know what? Don't underestimate the second goal because that's injury time. That's you know, there's time added on by the referee for either time wasting or substitutions. Mm-hmm. And he put himself in an area, you know, like a good player does, where he could get hurt, and he goes in against the set and he puts it in the back of the net. I mean, both goals were brilliant. I mean, there was more good goals in that game that you're not going to remember, but those two, I mean, he just paid his ticket, didn't he? And he just put the Galaxy back around the world. And I guarantee you they're selling shirts in every country in the world right now.
You know,
LA Galaxy shirts and Zlatan shirts. And, you know, probably a good move for him because at his age, we know that Major League Soccer is not as good as the Premier League. But when you think about it, he just got released by Manchester United. He could play. He could start for Manchester United. He wasn't going to, coming back from injury, but he could start. And last year, he scored lots of goals in the Premier League in England. And then he goes to Major League Soccer, you know, and he's, you know, in mid-30s, going into the twilight of his career. And he's going to be successful. There's no doubt. If he stays away from injury, he's going to be successful.
Does MLS need more players like that? Well, or is it growing the local guys to go? Do you need a mix of both?
It's a little bit of both. They need national attention or international attention as well. They need the likes of Zlatan's in the league, even though there's a lot of talk about not bringing in the players that are on the downward side of their career and this, that, and the other. We've spoken about overall the United States soccer needs to produce players at a far higher level. That's going to start with the developmental systems, and that's a generation off. But to bring attention to the game the way Zlatan has, from the globe, basically, it's been phenomenal. Now, let's hope he keeps it up, right?
Yeah.
Let's hope he keeps it up. Let's hope he doesn't get injured. He stays fit, focused. He will score goals in this league. He will bring attention to the league. You know, and he'll open up for people think about coming here. He'll bring sponsors to the league. He'll bring – there's so much. That, as we said last week, some people said it was a mistake for LA Galaxy. Never a mistake.
No, it's the best move.
Even if he didn't play as well as he did, even if he didn't get the two goals, the storybook game.
Sure.
Even if he didn't get those, he's just brought so much attention. So, listen, I think a good move for them. Fair play to them. They've bounced back. The stadium was rocking. Their home stadium was. Their fans have belief in them. They're going out and getting behind them, and he's probably just put some energy in the team. Managed correctly by his coach and with some other players like Ashley Cole, who came from Chelsea at left back. He's got some players you can relate to that have been at the highest level and played in World Cups like he has before. So, yeah, good for American soccer, good for L.A., good for Major League Soccer. Good for everything around it.
Yeah, I feel like what the Galaxy did. I mean, it's almost the same blueprint as they did with Beckham years back.
Big difference here,
obviously, with having LAFC in town now as a rival, which they're calling El Tráfico now instead of El Clásico as the name of the derby. Gotta love that.
Yeah.
No, I think it's huge for MLS and the Galaxy. They needed that because with their new hometown rivals, new club, right?
But, you know, Major League Soccer has made some good signings of players, but they don't have the presence that Zlatan has or that Beckham had, right? So you can look at some of the great players that were signed in the league and still playing in the league that have played in World Cups, but none of them outside of the local community really have the impact globally that this guy has or that Beckham had. Beckham did change MLS. He did show the world what MLS was and where it was going. This is just another step. Look, he might play for a year, he might play for 2 years, but right now they got to bounce off it, right? They got to bounce off it, and it's definitely.
Regardless, he's making a huge impact.
Huge impact. Yeah.
Coach Kenny Farrell of the New Orleans Jesters hanging out with us for On the Pitch. Speaking of Jesters, let's get right into it. Got some academy news coming up, don't we? Some tryouts coming up?
Yeah, we got tryouts. We run an academy. Yeah. We run it, we think, very different, and we know very different, but we try to educate people. Like, our philosophy, if you ask me in a word, is like individual development within a team environment. Obviously, the game's got to be played as a team.
Is that what separates the Jesters academies from others?
It does, because our focus and our measures of success are not just basically winning games, because there's stages in development of a player, and I wish the United States was doing this across the board, but they're not.
Mm.
It's really, most people put a team together it doesn't matter. They might be a big club. They might wear all the same color, but really it's just your team, your coach, and your parent manager. And you go and try and win games, and somewhere in there you're developing players. For us, it's all about every single individual learning how to play the game. Our first measure of success is not did we win the game. The first measure is did we execute, did we learn, whatever age you are. Do you know how to play the game correctly? Are you playing the game well and learning to play the game well? So, you know, in the younger age groups, we're all about the relationship with the ball, because without that and your comfortability with the ball, you can't play at a higher level. And that doesn't happen in other sports. So we do that. So if that's what, if someone's looking for an education for their kid, come out to our tryouts. It's at nolajesters.com. They're coming up in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And we are a choice that's a little bit different. You can always pick up the phone and call us if you want to know more about it, or you can go to the website and read. But we're really about the education of players and the development of soccer players.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're in that realm, that's why we're different.
Yeah.
That's why we're different. We're confident in what we do, and we're not scared of losing games if we have to lose them. We want to win them, of course. We're more concerned about the development of every single individual youth that comes through our system.
Yeah. Now, on the level where the wins and losses do matter, on the senior level, obviously coming up, the U.S. Open Cup schedule, it's coming out tomorrow.
It comes out. U.S. Soccer is making the draw tomorrow. I think it's sent out on a Twitter feed from U.S. Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll know our pairing for the first round tomorrow. I think there's 90 teams in it, including Major League Soccer teams overall. If we get past a couple of rounds, there's a possibility that we could end up playing one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, it's an exciting time. You know, hopefully we're drawn at home. We'd like to be drawn at home. The game will be on May 9th. We're not sure who it'll be against.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be May 9th. It's a Wednesday night. As I say, hopefully in New Orleans. One way or another, look out for a press release. Go to the website, our website. Find out tomorrow and buy your tickets. Come support us, because it's going to be important for us to make a run in the Open Cup. And then, you know, 3 days later, on that Saturday night at home, we play Knoxville.
Home opener.
Yeah, play them for the home opener.
Season debut for me as well.
Pan American Stadium.
Oh, here we go.
Kickoff 7 o'clock. So we're all excited about that. The players are all jumping at the bit. The reserves are training right now. Some of the first team players are training with them. Other players have arranged to come into town. It's going to be an exciting summer. And hopefully it will be as successful and more successful than it was last year. So
who's one of their Knoxville players? Who do I need to be yelling you're a bum to? Because my debut is the unofficial assistant coach for the Jesters.
Now, listen, before we go there, what I'd like to do, if possible,
is
I'd like to reenact that goal that Zlatan scored. I'd like to put you on the penalty spot. Maybe I can beat you from 40 yards with a bit of top
spin. That's a great
idea. If you score on me from 40 yards away.
Reenact the goal.
I think that's a great idea.
You think you can score on me from 40 yards away?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
You got no faith.
Look, Zlatan saw the keeper off his line. Yeah. He knew when to hammer that home.
No way.
Get ready.
Forty yards away, I can stop it.
I am so waiting for this moment. You know, do you want me to wear a blindfold?
Let me tell you something. Don't let the 5'7", 5'9" wingspan fool you at all. I can move like a grasshopper.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, boy.
Grasshopper.
You know what? We've got so many challenges coming up that I don't even know if we have enough home games to get them all in, honestly. We got the penalty shootout. Yeah. We got the Zlatan reenactment.
I could stop 40 yards, can't I?
Gus.
Okay, well, here's the thing.
That's maybe from your child.
But that goal went in because the keeper was surprised at it. I am waiting. I'm watching you 40 yards away. I got 40 yards to react.
Nothing to do with the execution, right? or the vision, or the quality of the
keeper
play.
Keeper blew it. I won't blow it.
Yeah, right. You just stand on the goal line.
Well, I'm going to stand there and I'm waiting for the ball to come.
The reenactment means you got to start where the goalkeeper was.
He was out of position. Exactly. See, I will be in position on the goal line waiting for it to come.
I can't wait to see that. Let's build that one up.
Look right
Let's
here. Look. Little right fist. Punched it.
No. You might lose.
By the end of the season, you might be able to play the game. You never know. You know, but I don't want you getting thrown out of games.
Okay.
You know, for abusing opposing players.
Well, we're in the month of April, and you guys get ready to start in about a month here. So.
Very, very close. I just think it's important not to forget the two big derbies this weekend, Liverpool-Everton. Liverpool have to win. Man City-Man United. If Liverpool win and Man United lose, then there might be a toss-up for second place going towards the end of the Premier League. We know Manchester City's won it, and I think the top four that's going to the European Cup next year are already... are already decided in the league.
Yeah, now Man City, they can get the trophy. They can get the win the league this Saturday against Man U, right?
It would be disastrous for a Manchester United fan to watch that. It would be a disaster. It would be truly disastrous.
It might happen, too.
You know, and it's a possibility.
It's very possible.
And Nola Jester's the way to follow Coach Kenny Farrell and the rest of his soccer team. Thank you, Coach. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Cheers. Thanks,
man. As always, appreciate it. Uh-oh, Brian and Nola Eastwood come back. David on Twitter has got a stat for you on your Lamar Jackson and the Wonderlic. Does it matter or not? Saints fans, would it keep you from drafting a player if they got a 13 on the Wonderlic? That was Lamar Jackson's Wonderlic score. Let's close out the show with a little discussion on that next. This is Sports Hangover Live at Walk-Ons. The pizza, we got to draw one more.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that when we come back.
We'll do that as well when we come back on ESPN New Orleans. Our thanks again to Jacques and Brett, two of the 10 qualifiers for WrestleMania tickets. Pepito, you have spoken to Brett.
That's right.
He will get his WrestleMania tickets this week. Jacques, still waiting for you to... I think he left you a voicemail.
So yeah, he's...
We'll get to it.
There's a number in here somewhere.
But we're trying to get to you, and we'll get you those WrestleMania tickets. Floor seats.
Oh, premium,
my
friend.
I know. Tomorrow, Paul Heyman.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
In studio.
The Paul Heyman.
Thursday, Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
You also...
Bobby Roode interview Thursday.
Bobby
Some
Roode
audio
on
from
Thursday,
that.
And you will also get a chance to, interview Alexa Bliss.
Solo interview. Solo.
Which
like
means
me.
You're not invited.
I'm just saying.
No, you are invited.
They were available 6 a.m. to noon every day this week at the convention center.
Well, not every day.
And Pepito somehow managed to get the 11:40 to 11:50 slot.
Really?
Mm-hmm. When I happened to have to be on 132 Royal Street on Friday morning to set up and then do the show that starts at noon at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen in town.
So you can't make it.
So I cannot make it at the convention center. Now if it was like down the street, maybe able to sprint there.
So how's it his fault?
Yeah, how's it my fault?
He could have said, hey, too close to showtime. Do you have anything else available?
He's a professional.
You could have said we go on at noon.
Right, and if I would have said that, then we can't fit you in because that's your time slot.
But you didn't even try.
No, I didn't try.
Because you knew that you could go and I could.
Totally. It's not my show, it's yours.
Wow.
I just provide content for it.
The selfishness is unbelievable.
Doesn't sound selfish to me at all.
It's real
selfish. I believe it's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Actually, no, it was going to be the Sports Hangover with Brian Enola East until he made the point that the Wonderlic score of 13 for a one Lamar Jackson doesn't matter.
Not to
and
me.
Right after that, the Viking Luke says, never mind, give the show back to Gus.
I just need to know when are they going to take the Wonderlic test while they're running plays.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Okay, David on Twitter says, tell Brian, 2016 data. Of the 64 starting and backup quarterbacks in the NFL, only three scores lower than a 20. Only one starter, Tyrod Taylor, had a 15. And Vince Young scored a 6. So, again.
Can somebody tell me where Tim Tebow scored? Where is he? Can somebody tell me what Josh Allen scored? You know what he did the entire college football season? Threw the ball in the dirt. Somebody just explain to me when these Wonderlic scores are going to actually apply to football.
I go to what, you know, head coach Sean Payton said about him.
Yeah.
That he just oozes leadership and you can... So now, again, does that mean, though... Because I guess what people kind of correlate that to, that if you have a low Wonderlic, you can't read a defense. That if you have a low Wonderlic, you can't understand
the You know game. Who scored pretty good on the Wonderlic? Huh. Johnny Manziel. You know what he couldn't do? Read defenses. So, about those SmackDown Live tickets that you're going
to
give me.
Let's do it right now. It won't be to you. But, Joey, you have not seen the list at all.
No, I have not. I've been in a soundproof room.
Okay.
In the studio in a soundproof room.
We have somebody that wants to sign up literally right now.
Wow.
Okay. You got 1 minute.
Yeah.
So just sign up your name. Just put your name down. Let's see. So, Joey.
Yes.
1 through 14. I'm going to break it down for you.
Okay.
1 to 14. Pick a number 1 of 14. It can't be 4. What you got?
I'm going with the 2018 final Cleveland Browns record. Ten.
That goes to Frank.
Ten.
All right.
Frank is the winner of the last pair of SmackDown tickets.
Lively. Frank Lively. You are the winner. to the second set of SmackDown tickets. Easy enough. All right, cool. All right, so Frank and Kevin both won today. SmackDown tickets, which are combined with Access tickets. We gave away Access tickets.
Yeah, that's
WrestleMania tickets.
A TV.
A TV. That's right, the Walk-Ons Challenge. The winner went to R. Bernstein. First place, last place was A. Carter 19 from Homa. She gets walk-ons for a month. I feel like Santa Claus.
And before we breaking news, the Triple G and Canelo fight off. It's not happening. So save your money on that pay-per-view. It's not going down.
Ooh. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Yes, coming up next, Matt Moscone. And after further review, he is ready to go. He's on deck. Tomorrow, Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman.
Second hour. So you want to tune in for sure for that as well. We'll see you tomorrow on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Today.